Today on Blue 58, Brian Gutekunst has a reputation as a guy who likes to move around the draft board, and he isn't shy about trading up. He did it three times in the 2024 draft alone. Is that a good idea?
Blue 58!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I'm your host, John Meerdink, and I'm happy to be with you here for another episode. We're going to talk about a topic today that fascinates me. You know, roster building is something that I really like to talk about. Trades are one of the most interesting parts of that process, I think. A lot of times when you talk about the draft or free agency or things like that, it's hard to really calculate what could have gone differently because of so many different variables at play. But in a trade situation, you've got clear definitions of value on both sides. One team trades a draft pick or a player or whatever to another team for a draft pick or a player or whatever. You have two sides that you can compare to each other. You can talk about who won and lost and have some actual firm things on both sides. With free agency, there's a lot of different things at play. One of the things that we talk about a lot on this podcast is the Packers' 2018 decisions relating to Jordy Nelson and Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson, and how that affected the Packers in free agency. They ended up losing out on some other options that could have shaped them if they had handled things differently and timed things differently and all those different things. But ultimately, we don't know a lot of how that shook out and timeline and who was talking to who and when and all of those things. But with trades, you can evaluate those things. On another note, trades are just so dramatic. There is so much in sports that is kind of hyped up to involve constructed drama. But I think trades are just dramatic in and of themselves. You have things changing hands, assets for players, players for assets. You have the hype leading up to a trade. I mean, will this guy make a difference? How many times have we gone to the trade deadline and wondered if the Packers were going to do something or not do something? And that's all real. It's all actual, measurable, tangible stuff in ways that I think some other transactions aren't. I mean, just look at how free agency played out for the Packers this year. We talked endlessly about the different options that the Packers could have in free agency or what they would do or this, that, and the other thing, but there was no back and forth or negotiation and stuff like that. It was just, bam, suddenly the Packers have Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, and Aaron Jones is leaving, and David Bakhtiari is gone, and Devondre Campbell is gone, blah, blah, blah. It all happened really, really quickly, and it was hard to fit the pieces together until, in hindsight, you know, you could look back and see how it all played out. With a trade, all of that happens basically right up front. You get all the information in seconds after it happens. Player X went to this team for this amount. Player Y traded this to this other team and got this in return. It's all there. And you can follow the threads of that roster building through the years and see how it all plays out. So why look at this now? Well, about a week ago, Bill Barnwell of ESPN wrote an article all about trading up. You should seek out the whole thing and write it. Just look up Bill Barnwell trading up on the internet browser of your choice, and you'll find the article there. But it really gave me a lot to think about when it comes to evaluating trading up. The reason I want to look at trading up specifically is because it seemed to dovetail so nicely with some of the other stuff that we've cited in terms of player evaluations, the famous economics paper that we cite almost every episode when we're talking about the implications of the draft and stuff like that. Barnwell tried to do a similar analysis on trading up, and buried way down in the article, this is what he found. Quote, "Trading up still pays off less than the teams that move up would hope. When a team traded up for a player, his performance over the first 5 years matched or surpassed the costs his team paid in draft capital just 42% of the time. That figure dropped to 40% in the first three rounds and was slightly better on day three when the threshold for meeting draft value is much lower. Nearly 23% of the picks were total busts who produced zero value for their new teams, including 16% of the players who were acquired via trade-ups on day one or day two of the draft," end quote. There's a bunch of other numbers along those lines throughout the piece, but basically trading up most of the time doesn't work out. About 42% of the time you're going to get your return on investment back when you trade a player. So I thought we should take a little time and try to evaluate how Brian Gutekunst has done. We'll look back at his time as the Packers general manager, dating back to 2019, and take a look at the trade-ups he's been involved in the NFL draft. We're also going to mention a few other trades that involved picks for players and stuff like that, just to you know, add a little flavor here, because there's some other interesting trades in there. And we'll do a simple thumbs up or thumbs down on whether or not things have worked out. The rubric for whether or not it's worked out is going to basically come down to my get good players philosophy that we talked about in this year's NFL draft. Did the player become a good player for the Packers? Was it a good decision to go and get that guy? We're only going to evaluate this by whether or not you got good players. I don't care about the compensation being equal or whatever, what you ended up paying for the guy. Because at the end of the day, if you get a good player, the trade works. If you don't, it doesn't really matter because the hit rate in the NFL draft is so low anyway. So, starting with 2024, we can't make comments on any of these, but there were actually three trade-ups in the 2024 NFL draft. I just want to make a note of these. We'll refer back to them in the future. But the Packers traded picks 126 and 190 in the NFL draft this spring to the Jets for pick number 111 and took Evan Williams. They also traded picks 168 and 219 to the Buffalo Bills for pick number 163. That became Jacob Monk. And the third one, if you can't remember, might have escaped your notice, but this actually came during the 2023 season when the Packers traded Rasul Douglas and a fifth rounder to the Bills for that 2024 third round pick. That pick ultimately became pick number 91, and the Packers used that pick to select Tyron Hopper. Interestingly, and this should add an interesting layer to the analysis of the move for Douglas, the Bills used their fifth rounder on Washington linebacker Adefuan Olufashio, I think I'm saying that name right, who is a popular mock draft target for the Packers and actually hit some of the thresholds that we were looking for Packers linebackers in our pre-draft process stuff this year. Hopper, of course, did not. He was not as solid of a prospect as Olufashio was. So that's something to bear in mind as we look at this trade going forward. The Packers ultimately swapped linebackers there with the Bills, and the Bills got the one who fits some of the things that we look for at linebacker a little bit more closely than Hopper does. Though the more, and we'll talk about him more in the future, the more I read about Hopper, the more I think that looking at his 2022 stuff might be a better evaluation of him as a player than the 2023 stuff. That's a conversation for a different day. 2023 also included a trade up for the Packers, a very small one. Ultimately, the Packers, with some other stuff in there, went from 15th in the first round to 13th in the first round via the Aaron Rodgers trade. A bunch of other picks involved there. Doesn't even pay to list them all out. But in going from 15 to 13, the Packers were able to take Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher out of Iowa. And I think so far, I'm going to still grade this one as incomplete. So far, that one appears to be working out for the Packers, but it's still a work in progress. 2022, another interesting one here. I think we're getting to the point where we can almost make a ruling on this one for sure. But in the second round, the Packers jumped up to the 34th overall pick using picks 53 and 59. Interestingly, trading with the Minnesota Vikings, both of those picks going to Minnesota there. Of course, at 34, they take Christian Watson, and the jury is still out a little bit at this one. This is going to be one for the history books, though, because I think this one is in part informed by what happened to the Packers in 2020. The Packers in 2020 didn't make much secret out of the fact that they were interested in a wide receiver. And for most of that pre-draft process, most of the lead-up to that draft, it looked like they were going to be in a pretty solid position to get a receiver in the draft that year, until the draft actually started playing out. I think between picks 11 or 12 and so and 25, there were six wide receivers taken, including Justin Jefferson at 21 and Brandon Ayuk at 25, both of whom the Packers reportedly liked and were connected to pretty heavily throughout the lead up to the draft. Then there was a bunch of other guys that were available in the second round that many had projected to the Packers, you know, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Chase Claypool. And the Packers were unable to get up from either 30 to high enough to get any of the wide receivers they wanted, or from 62 up to get any of the receivers they wanted. And ultimately, they ended up trading up, which we'll talk about here in a second, to take someone rather noteworthy at 26. But I think 2022, the Packers knew that they had to get a receiver because Devontae Adams had been traded. They couldn't miss out again like they did in 2020. So they went up and made sure that they got the wide receiver that they liked the most that was still on the board, and they got Christian Watson. So a lot at stake, a lot of external factors in this one in terms of whether or not Watson is going to be a good player for the Packers if that was a good move. Well, he's got one fairly good season and one season where there was a lot of stuff that made it a fairly disappointing season for him, I would say. So I think we're still in incomplete territory. I think 2024 is going to tell the story here on Watson. 2021, this is where we can really start to dive into some stuff here. We just did a 2021 redraft on the last episode of the podcast, and obviously there's a draft pick in there that we really did not like either at the time or since then. Amari Rodgers at 85. That was the result of a trade-up, though. The Packers traded the 92nd and 135th picks to the Tennessee Titans for the 85th selection in the draft, and they used that on Rodgers. That is going to be a pretty firm thumbs down there. Far from the only trade the Packers made that year, though. They did make a couple other moves involving draft picks both throughout the 2020 season or 2021 season into 2022. Well, I guess in the 2021 season, heading into 2022 or 21 into 22, the Packers traded pick 205 in the 2021 draft for Randall Cobb. They traded cornerback Josh Jackson to the New York Giants for cornerback Isaac Yiadom. Yiadom ended up being a fairly useful player for them for a year. They got Kadar Holman off to the Houston Texans for a seventh round pick, which turned out to be Tariq Carpenter. And then another trade up here, they swapped 2023 sixth round pick to the 2023 sixth-round pick to the Rams for Corey Bohorquez and a seventh-round pick, so a trade back there. The pick that they ended up giving up for Bohorquez there ended up being pick number 191, which was traded four more times by the Buccaneers before they ultimately picked Trey Palmer. And the Packers used that 2023 seventh-rounder on running back Lou Nichols. Of course, that did not work out that year, but not a trade up. Now, 2020, we mentioned this before. But in 2020, after the one run on receivers, the Packers jumped up from 30th to 26th via trading picks 30 and 136 to the Miami Dolphins for pick number 26 and selected Jordan Love. Now, the payoff, we had to wait quite a while for this one. 2020 went by, nothing out of your first rounder. 22 goes by, 23 goes by, or sorry, 20, 21, and 22 goes by, nothing out of your 2020 first round pick. And that, I think it was frustrating for a few years there, and I think definitely did hurt the Packers through those seasons. I don't think there's really any way to argue that. The Packers could have used a first-round pick on the field in either of those playoff runs. Wide receiver was a factor in the 2020 NFC Championship game. You know, people fixate on how often Aaron Rodgers threw to Devontae Adams in the red zone. He did that because they really didn't have any other options out there. Alan Lazard has never been a great red zone threat. Equanimeous St. Brown was one of the other guys that he targeted in the end zone in that game, was unable to work open, cost them a two-point conversion. I think it's hard to argue that they couldn't have used more help at receiver. That was definitely the case in the 2021 playoffs. They went into that game with Devontae Adams as really the only completely healthy, functional receiver there. Alan Lazard was there as well. You know, the famous play that Rodgers went deep to Adams instead of looking for Lazard underneath. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling was not healthy for that game, was not on the field. Randall Cobb had just come back from injury. So they definitely could have used another pass catcher on the field in that game. And I think it could have made a difference. However, this pick has worked out. The narrow path to success that we've always talked about for this pick to work out for the Packers appears to be, we appear to be well on our way down that path. And Love definitely turned things around at the end of 2023, the second half of 2023. So I think this is a pretty firm thumbs up on the pick working out. And that's the only thing that matters. Does the pick work out? It's working out so far. 2019, things get a little bit complicated. There's some deep roots to these trades. The first pick comes, or the first trade up came in the first round. Packers traded the 30th, 114th, and 118th pick to the Seattle Seahawks for pick number 21. They used that pick on Darnell Savage there, the second of two firsts that year. The first, of course, being Rashawn Gary. I go back and forth on whether or not Savage was a good pick. I think ultimately I land on no, just because Well, he's not with the team anymore. He didn't live up really to the draft status. But you can see the thinking here. The Packers needed some help on the back end. He was a versatile piece in the secondary. They probably could have played him in the slot a little bit more, though, when they tried it. It didn't really work. But you can see the thinking there, and certainly a very, very good athlete on top of that. It just didn't work out, and sometimes things don't work out. So a thumbs down, I think, on that one. But we also can't forget that the 30th pick that the Packers traded there was basically a bonus pick that the Packers got for trading down in the 2018 draft. We'll talk about the trade up they made in the 2018 draft as well, but they traded down in the first round, picked up the extra first, and ultimately used that first with a couple other picks there on Darnell Savage. So yes, maybe not a great pick. Yes, it didn't work out as a trade up, but there's some behind the scenes, I guess, economics here that make it sting a little bit less than I think otherwise it would have. Imagine if that was the only pick that the Packers had made in the first round that year. Then I think you'd feel a lot worse about Darnell Savage than you maybe do already. Certainly not the most exciting first-round pick. I think you can call him a disappointment, but much less of a disappointment than it could have been had he been the only guy that they took in the first round that year. Also that year, the Packers traded offensive lineman, well, technically the year prior, but they traded Jordan McCray and a 2020, well, I guess, no, looking forward, it is that same year. In any case, they traded Jordan McCray, an offensive lineman, and a 2020 seventh rounder to the Cleveland Browns for a 2020 seventh round pick, so a pick swap. That ended up being pick 244 that the Packers gave up along with McCray for pick number 236. That pick number 236 turned out to be Vernon Scott. I'm going to call that one a success, maybe a tentative success. I don't know. Success, failure, kind of borderline there. Let's call it a success, just for the sake of argument. He was around for a couple of years, if nothing else. We'll just say that ends up being a success. It's the seventh round. Who cares? Also that same year, not a trade-up, but the Packers swapped Reggie Gilbert to the Tennessee Titans for a sixth-round pick in 2020. That ended up being Jake Hansen. And then perhaps the Packers' best trade of all in the 2019 season, they traded Trevor Davis to the Oakland Raiders for a 2020 sixth rounder. That sixth round pick ended up being John Runyon. So, Galaxy brain Brian Gutekunst here turning some player arbitrage, some guys that he didn't want anyway, Reggie Gilbert and Trevor Davis, into offensive line prospects, and a 50% hit rate on those two draft picks ends up being pretty solid. And shoot, you could even throw McCray in there. Another pick, a player he didn't want, turned into a guy that they did, who was around for a while at the very least, which is more than you can say for some seventh-round picks. Now, Brian Gutekunst was especially busy in 2018, including with some picks that would end up not being fully realized for a couple years, and one of which is still affecting the Packers in some ways today. The first trade came shortly after he took over as Packers general manager. Really, one of his first big moves as general manager was trading Demarius Randall along with the 114th pick and the 150th pick to the Browns for DeShone Kizer, the quarterback, and the 101st pick and the 138th pick there. So a double trade-up or a double pick swap there involving the Packers moving up in two separate areas of the draft. Now, they ended up trading pick number 101 along with pick number 147 to the Panthers for pick number 88, and that ended up being Oren Burks. Fairly firm thumbs down, I think, on that trade-up. You want more than the Packers got from Oren Burks from a third-round pick. That trade-up did not work out. Pick number 138 also turned out to be Cole Madison. I think we can call that one a failed trade-up as well. So, two trade-ups there. One trade-up netting you two players, neither of whom really worked out. That's okay. It's not always going to work out, but two misses there for Brian Gutekunst. However, there was one other trade-up that the Packers made in that 2018 draft that did work out for the Packers. The Packers traded the 27th, 76th, and 186th pick to the Seattle Seahawks for the 18th and 248th picks. Pick number 18 ended up being Jaire Alexander, the first and maybe best of Brian Gutekunst's first-round picks, certainly right there with Rashawn Gary. Pick number 248 ended up being Kendall Donerson. Didn't really matter. Just a throw in there, and really wasn't a trade-up, just a bonus thing that the Packers got. But in terms of moving up and getting something for it, yeah, I think Jaire Alexander ends up working out for the Packers there quite well. A couple other notable trades from that 2018 calendar year before we give some final numbers here on Brian Gutekunst here. The Packers, at the end of training camp in 2018, shipped Brett Hundley to the Seattle Seahawks for a 2019 sixth rounder. That turned out to be Dexter Williams. They traded running back Ty Montgomery during that season to the Baltimore Ravens for a 2020 seventh rounder. That turned out to be Jonathan Garvin. And then the biggest and perhaps most noteworthy trade, the Packers at the deadline swapped Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix to Washington for a 2019 fourth-round pick, and they ended up using that fourth-round pick as a part of their trade-up to get Darnell Savage. Now, we mentioned a pick still working out for the Packers today. You could say that's Jaire Alexander, but I would make a note here that Darnell Savage also led to the Packers getting Xavier McKinney in a way, because they wouldn't have otherwise needed Xavier McKinney had Savage ended up working out. So Xavier McKinney is in Green Bay, partly as a result of the Packers trading Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix 6 years ago. So just keep that in mind as you look at trades and roster moves and things like that. The threads of these things can take a long time to unravel. Now, by my calculations here, I've got the Packers down for 11 different trade-ups or 11 different players coming to Green Bay as a result of trading up. I think you've got firm wins in Jordan Love and Jaire Alexander. I don't think anybody would really contest that. Love, if he continues to play in 2024 and beyond, as he did at the end of 2023, is going to be a valuable piece for the Packers. Invaluable, I think you might even say, for many years to come. Jaire Alexander, I think, has paid off the investment the Packers made in him, at least through the draft. We can quibble about his free agent contract or contract extension if you want to go that route. But I think it was a good move to go up and get him when they did. Some losses, though. Amari Rodgers, Darnell Savage, Oren Burks, Cole Madison. None of those players really worked out for the Packers. You can throw Vernon Scott in among the wins. You can count him among the losses. Just to even out the numbers here, let's count him among the wins. So two firm wins, one soft win in Vernon Scott. Who really cares about the Vernon Scott one anyway? And then some incomplete grades, Christian Watson, Lucas Van Ness, and then of course, the three from this year, Evan Williams, Jacob Monk, and Tyron Hopper. Overall, when Gutekunst wins in the trade-up stuff, he wins pretty big. Love and Alexander are two big wins for the Packers long-term. The losses, I think, are equally big, though not quite as big as the wins. It's more the volume, I think, of losses that ends up adding up here. Amari Rodgers and Oren Burks, while third-round picks, just never really blossomed into what you would hope they could be. Though third round is a tricky one, you would expect to get some sort of contribution early on, and the Packers really never got any contribution from them at all. So I guess loss is there, but maybe we should lower the bar for third-rounders a little bit. Even by a low bar, though, I think you'd have a hard time saying that Rodgers or Burks cleared it. Savage ends up being a loss, worth trying something, and diminished somewhat by the fact that he was the second of two first-round picks that year. And then Cole Madison just didn't work out for a variety of reasons. 2024 and 2023, I guess, 2022, excuse me, in the Watson trade is really going to end up determining Gutekunst's legacy from this period in terms of wins and losses trading up. It's worth being aggressive. But I think it does show us here that the numbers are not always in your favor. And even grading relatively conservatively, the Packers are going to need some big performances from the guys whose legacies have yet to be determined before we decide, is it a good idea to let Brian Gutekunst trade up or not? When he's hit hard. But there's a lot of times when it hasn't necessarily worked out, and we could be looking at a few more here over the next few years that just have not shaken out for the Packers. That's all I've got for you in this episode of Blue 58. I appreciate you tuning in. I'd appreciate it even more if you'd take a second and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it. That's going to help more people find the show and get more people involved in this conversation that you and I are having about the Green Bay Packers, which in turn is going to help all of us, me included, become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I'm your host, John Meerdink. We'll see you next time on Blue 58.